Great, thank you. This afternoon, I'd like to talk about gratitude. And I'd like to follow on the talk about gratitude with a gratitude practice. It's sometimes called a Katanyata Bhavana. And it's not one of the Brahma Viharas that we've been talking about. We were talking yesterday, particularly about the Metta Bhavana, the Upeksha Bhavana, the equanimity, cultivation of equanimity. So bhavana means cultivation of. So metta bhavana, cultivation of metta or loving kindness. And mudita bhavana, we mentioned yesterday, the cultivation of sympathetic joy when we discover the successes of people we know. And Upeksha Bhavana, the or Upeka Bhavana, the cultivation of equanimity. So this today we'll do a practice of the Katanyata Bhavana, the gratitude, cultivation of gratitude practice. But before that, let me say a few words on the subject of gratitude. It's a lovely topic to talk about, really. Gratitude. I mean, what more positive topic could you choose? So we've been surveying our lives, perhaps over the past few days, the events of the past year, perhaps, maybe looking forward to the next year. And to some extent, we've been using the prism, the lens of the eight worldly winds, praise, blame, gain, loss, pleasure, pain, fame, infamy. I wonder what maybe celebrity would be a better word no, fame works. It's infamy, we have to find a better word for anti-celebrity. Anyway, yes. So gratitude. It's a lovely human response, isn't it, to receiving. To somebody's or just life's generosity. It's kind of can be a reflex action, just a bit habitual, a bit more. Yeah, but it's very attractive. Even if it's habitual, it's an attractive, it's kind of noble, gracious, isn't it? Or graceful when there's gratitude in the air. Sets up an atmosphere. And similarly, when there's a kind of blatant lack of gratitude, we feel it, we notice it. It's like something isn't quite complete in the universe in a situation of a lack of gratitude. I mean, we could ask ourselves, how do we respond in a situation when we perceive a lack of gratitude? Anyway, that's a bit of an aside. I want to talk about gratitude as an active practice, not just kind of that automatic, conventional response to generosity. I'm talking about a practice that we can cultivate, a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. I like that, an attitude of gratitude that we can cultivate. So making it more deliberate. Rather than just mere convention, rather than just habitual. I mean, habitual is not a bad thing. I mean, there are far worse habits compared with gratitude to have. But I suppose what I'm emphasizing here is it can be mechanical, can't it? Our gratitude. So can we make our gratitude our expression of gratitude a bit more heartfelt, a bit more conscious, and maybe bring it more into our lives. And maybe you've been experiencing, like I have, when I've been looking back on my life, this past couple of days, looking back in the past year, it's so easy for me to slip into seeing and emphasizing the negative. Rather than the positive. There's a well-known feature of our psychology are negatively biased. It's certainly been emphasized in the secular mindfulness meditation tradition. So studies show that we are hardwired to recognize threats in an over treats, if you like. But so we are, it's far more important for us to recognize and spot those lion footprints than it is for us to recognize the fruit in the tree. Obviously, looking back over human history, human evolution, we have evolved this bias towards noticing what will, towards noticing risk, the threats. And while it is important for us to notice the good things, like the food that's available to us, if we miss the food, we're probably still going to be around tomorrow. If we miss that crucial threat of a tiger going to pounce on us, we're not going to be around tomorrow to pick the fruit. And that remains with us. That is something that we have to work with, really, most of us, that we notice the negative. I certainly do, you know, in any situation I'm in, almost my work situation, relationship situation, I tend to notice the things that haven't been done a bit more quickly than I notice the things that have been done. Not always, but sometimes that is the situation. So in cultivating gratitude in the face of generosity, we're looking at kind of bending the bamboo in the opposite direction, countering this negativity bias. And to some extent, you could say it is an act of imagination. Not fantasy, not imagination in the sense of we're creating something that isn't there, but more we're realizing, you know, often the good things are hidden. And it just takes a little bit of taking time out and reflection to actually realize the great things that are going on, to recognize the fortune that we have. I'm sure we can all appreciate that. You know, those things that we take for granted, whether it's some availability of food or water from the tap, our safety. You know, what would it be like? I sometimes imagine this these days, to be in a city where any moment a missile could land. You know, how do we take our security, our safety, for granted? How different that would be in a country like the Ukraine at the moment. Maybe we take our relationships or aspects of our relationships for granted, or simply the beauty of a sunset. These perhaps require a deliberate recognition sometimes. And this act of recognition leads to an appreciation, doesn't it? And I think there is a difference in my head between appreciation and gratitude. I think they're totally related. Maybe appreciation is a form of gratitude. It's for me, appreciation isn't so active. It's not so active in terms of directed towards another human being, the giver. Whereas gratitude has this sense of I'm being grateful for something, but because it's been given to me by someone or something. Whereas appreciation is just, I appreciate this weather, I appreciate that music. It's like, there's a gratitude there, but it's less directed towards the giver. I just saw a quote today from Rumi which struck me. Sometimes the taking time out is necessary in order to recognize these glories, these gifts that we have in our lives, because they're hidden. So Rumi apparently wrote, "Don't think the garden loses its ecstasy in winter. It's quiet, but the roots are down there riotous." So yes, an act of imagination sometimes can just open up the world of good fortune that we have, the gifts, the bounty, the abundance that is there at our fingertips. Buddhism, particularly the Tantra, places a huge, well, it places an emphasis on gratitude, the gratitude. The great opportunity that we have, gratitude for this wonderful opportunity of having a human body and having an intelligence, being aware, the most fundamental aspects of our existence, if you like. Just appreciating the beauty of our existence, our bodies, however imperfect we might think they are in relation to some internalized ideal of what our bodies should be like. You know, they might be imperfect in that sense, but they are perfectly human, perfectly unique, to be appreciated. And we have an opportunity here to listen to, learn, read about the Dharma in ways that have never been available before, whether it's in through books, our talks, our podcasts, our radio, Zoom, what opportunities there are for wisdom. Our predicament, I think, is summed up very beautifully in a passage from Tsongkhapa, who was living in the 14th century. He founded a whole tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. The human body at peace with itself is more precious than the rarest gem. Cherish your body, it is yours this one time only. The human form is one with difficulty, it is easy to lose. All worldly things are brief, like lightning in the sky. This world you must know as the tiny splash of a raindrop, a thing of beauty that disappears even as it comes into being. Therefore, set your goal, make use of every day and night to achieve it. There's something radical too about gratitude in our commodified, commercialized, consumer society. Gratitude is subversive. The consumer society thrives on unmet desires, whereas gratitude is an assertion of having, it's an assertion of abundance. It's an attitude, really, of an attitude of fullness. The attitude of gratitude is an attitude of fullness. There's a sense of, at least when you're grateful, there's this, in that moment, the feeling of wealth, as opposed to the feeling that the consumer society wants us to experience, which is scarcity. I don't have that. I need that to make me happy. So in the attitude of gratitude, our possessions, those what could be commodities actually are gifts. And that's a different take on our possessions. It's a more satisfying relationship, in my view, to anything we have, anything we possess. It's a gift. We were given it. And this attitude of gratitude, I hope I'm not using this phrase, wearing it out, is conducive of contentment. And contentment, likewise, like gratitude, is a radical proposition in our society. It is medicine for land and people alike, contentment. I want to just say before we start the practice, I want to say something about the Potawatomi culture. So I was reading a book by Robin Wall Kimmerer recently, and she's a First Nation from the Potawatomi people, Great Plains, from the Great Plains in America. And they've inherited, or they have absorbed practices from other First Nation traditions like the Onondaga Nation and the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. And one of those traditions is a gratitude declaration. It's kind of a Thanksgiving address. And this is something they have elevated to a social priority. So anytime they get together as a tribe, even as a meeting, if they're going to meet with the local authority, any meeting will start off with this address, this gratitude declaration. They describe it as the words that come before all else. I'll give you an example of from the, it's quite a long, it can, you can imagine people twiddling their thumbs if they're not used to this preceding the minutes of the meeting, whatever the meeting is about. Because it's like an inventory of gratitude to the land and to nature, to the sun, to the moon, to the stars, to the fish, to the water, to the trees, to the plant life. Just an extract. We are thankful to our mother, the earth, for she gives us everything that we need for life. She supports our feet as we walk about upon her. It gives us joy that she still continues to care for us, just as she has from the beginning of time. To our mother, we give thanks, love, and respect. Now our minds are one. So they come together as one, united in gratitude. What a lovely facet to have in one's culture. It's a recognition of interdependence. And also perhaps it's a wake-up call to loss. You know, when what they're describing are obviously threatened through pollution, through climate change, then it becomes very, very much in the limelight. So this is part of a larger culture of reciprocity within these traditions in America. A sense that our gifts, the abundance that we have, with that comes responsibility. That duties and gifts are just two sides of the same coin, and that we are interconnected with the world in an intimate way. And it's really up to us to fulfill our role in this web of life. Okay, let us engage in the practice of the Caitanya Bhavana, the cultivation of gratitude. And really, it's a mix. This practice, it'll be familiar territory to some degree for you because it's based on the Metta Bhavana, and indeed, the Metta Bhavana is woven, the way I do it at least, the Metta Bhavana is woven together with the gratitude. Okay, so I invite you to find your posture. Dropping into the body, noticing your sensations, the sounds around you, the temperature of the air. The contact with whatever is supporting you, the chair, the mat, the cushion, the floor. Notice the pressure at those points of contact, supporting you. Holding you. Allowing your weight to drop into those points of support, particularly on the out-breath, with a sense of surrender, of yielding. Under gravity. A sense of settling through, in particular, the front of the sitting bones. With each out breath, yielding a little bit more, relaxing your weight. Invite you to bring your attention now to your breath, the sensations, the in-breath and the out-breath. Maybe with a sense of gratitude for each breath. What a gift. Breathable air. As we begin a practice of the Katanya to Bhav. So I invite you to reflect on your blessings, very basics, like the food on your table, having water available, clean, drinkable water available from a tap. How amazing is that? Having a roof over your head that keeps you dry, keeps the warmth in. The marvel that is the sanitation infrastructure. The relative safety in this country. Free from missiles. How about the blessings of family and friends? And the abundance, the blessing of good health, at least good enough health to be here on this retreat now. Again, a very relative thing, isn't it, health? But you're here now on the basis of a certain level of health. And then we have all those public facilities like the health service, transport, rubbish collection. And there's the abundance of culture. Maybe you have galleries or museums or music venues, theatres close to you, or accessible in some way. And one of the reasons you're able to avail of these facilities is the education you've received. Whatever level of education you've received, it is something that we can easily take for granted. And what a boon in life to be given the gift of knowledge at whatever level. And perhaps, like me, you consider the encounter with the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the Buddha's teachings, such a blessing. And I invite you to reflect on how your own decisions, your own openness, your efforts in life have brought you to this place here now, a place of abundance. With gratitude in your heart, I invite you to wish yourself well. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. I invite you now to bring to mind teachers in your life, from your life, teachers whom you've appreciated. And this might or might not include parents, maybe siblings. So they could be school teachers or Dharma teachers or your driving instructor, your gym instructor. Out of the range of teachers that you've benefited from in your life, I invite you to focus on a teacher in particular. Bring them to mind. Perhaps you can bring to mind their voice, their face. Their qualities. The gifts that they give you in the form of knowledge, of learning, maybe confidence, encouragement. With gratitude in your heart, I invite you to wish this teacher that you're bringing to mind well. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be free from suffering. I invite you now to reflect on those people whom you probably don't know personally, but whose work facilitates your life, makes it livable. So that could be Tube train drivers, supermarket checkout staff, health workers. The list is endless, really. So consider the blessings these people that you don't know necessarily, the blessings they bring you on a daily basis. And I invite you to focus on a particular individual who's in this category of people you don't know personally, but who really facilitates your life, albeit in a small way. Can you bring an individual to mind who represents this vast group of people? Maybe you have a sense of their face, their voice. With gratitude in your heart, I invite you to wish them well. May they be well, may they be happy, may they be free from suffering. I invite you now to reflect on people who have caused you difficulty in your life, considering the possibility that they may have had a role in bringing you to where you are now and all the blessings that you have now. Shantideva, the 8th century monk and teacher and tradition would say enlightened being, tells us that these people who cause us difficulty are our greatest friends. They give us the opportunity to learn patient forbearance. One of the most helpful spiritual qualities. So that's one way difficult people can help us. Maybe that consideration helps you to find gratitude in your heart towards people who've caused you difficulty. Or maybe just more generally, you have a sense that adversity in your life has sometimes benefited you. You've come through. So I invite you to focus on an individual who fits this category of difficult people who has brought adversity into your life. I invite you to bring them to mind. Obviously, not someone whose recollection might give rise to overwhelm. So bring this person to mind once you've chosen them, and after making them as vividly present as possible, I invite you to wish them well with gratitude in your heart for whatever role they've played in bringing you to where you are now. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be free from suffering. So consider four people that have come to your attention, to your recollection so far in this meditation. The teacher, the person that you don't really know well but facilitates your life, the difficult person, yourself. Once again, bearing in mind the benefits, the blessings they've brought you. With gratitude in your heart, wish each well, equally well, without bias. At least explore that possibility. May they be well, may we be well, may we be happy, may we be free from suffering. And I invite you now to extend your attention to everyone on this virtual event. We're all here supporting each other in a temporary, unique community of practitioners. Can you connect with a sense of gratitude for each other's presence and support? Wishing each here well, may we be well and happy and free from suffering. And I invite you to broaden your sense of gratitude and well-wishing to include ever greater circles of people in any way that is meaningful for you. Allowing your gratitude and well-wishing to extend further and further, including more and more people. Perhaps you can include non-human beings, such as plants and trees, trees that provide oxygen for you to breathe, plants that provide your food, nourishment, beauty in the environment. So many non-humans we can be grateful for and wish well. May they be well and happy and free from suffering. So I invite you to transition gently from the practice in your own time. Perhaps introducing some gentle movement that feels right. So it's been a joy to meditate with you this afternoon, and I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully later this evening, for our final session of the retreat, and we'll do some puja together, and maybe a little bit of feedback, any key themes that have come out for you from the event. Is there anything you'd like to add, Bodhi Leela?
Well, that if you're not able to make the session this evening, then this is your ending, so take care. You've probably gone a lot deeper than you're aware of during the retreat. And yes, one of the things about doing an online retreat is that you're doing it in the midst of your life. And you don't have that transition time of the journey from a retreat center back home. So just take care of yourself, and also the impact of a retreat can stay with you over quite a while. You might not be able to notice immediately, but it's just taking care of yourself and absorbing what you can, and yes, I hope you have a good new year. And for the rest of us, we'll finish it in a more ritual way. And I think there'll be that invitation to just think of something that you might be taking away from the retreat. And hope to see you later. And if not later, hope to see you again in person or online. And just a reminder that the recordings of most sessions will be up on the website. So if you want to revisit any of the talks or the meditations on the thing. And there will also be, hopefully, most of the readings will come up there as well. So, and it'll be a resource for you after the retreat if you want to go back to any of it.
Great. Thank you, Bodhi Leela. Looking forward to seeing you later this evening.
Bye bye. See you later.